All right, good morning, everyone. Beautiful day to hang out in the parking lot, right? Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, God. We just consecrate this time to you. We bring the authority of the kingdom of God to the corners of this place, and we stake it there. We proclaim this day your day. We proclaim this time your time. Father, we ask for your spirit. Father, we ask for your love and your kindness, God, to flow through this place, God. Father, would you just awaken our hearts to you this morning? God, would you just awaken our spirits to you this morning? Father, would you just allow us to hear your voice? God, to hear the melody of your unending love for us? God, we ask just for you to speak over us, to sing over us today. In your name we pray, amen. Come, thy fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. For songs of loudest praise, teach me some melodious song sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, Mount of God's redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I know. Here's my heart, take and seal it for thy courts above. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, take and seal it for thy courts above. I've had this thought all week long. I can't really shake. I've been listening to a song that I'd like to perform out here one Sunday, but I haven't learned it yet. But it's a song by a guy named Corey Asbury. It's funny, it was playing when I pulled up, and the very part that I loved the most was playing. The lyric escapes me right now, but it's called The Prodigal Song. And I don't know if you guys, whenever I get to speak, I've gotten to do the talk, I've always talked about the prodigal son, because it's just a story that's beautiful to me, and I know it's beautiful to a lot of people, but I really believe it kind of sums up the gospel. So I was sitting at home the other night, and I was listening to Corey sing this song, and he gets to the part about where the son comes home, right? The son returns. If you're not familiar with the story, I'm sure everybody is, but this kid comes to his father, and he tells him he wants his portion of the inheritance, and he goes to this faraway country, and he does whatever he wants to do. He lives however he wants to live. He spends all his money on drugs and booze and women and partying. And when he's run out of money and he's run out of friends, he starts his long walk back home to the only place that he feels would welcome him. And as he walks home, he starts to form an apology. And I can imagine him going through this apology. You ever practice a conversation you're going to have with somebody in your head? I can imagine all the way home he's practicing this this apology. And then when he starts down the driveway home, I can just feel this guy's heart start to beat faster. And I can just feel the fear in his voice, you know, as he practices this apology. And maybe even turning around and going, no way, he's never going to let me come back. And he keeps going down this road. And the text says that the father sees him a long way off. And he starts running towards him. And he runs up and he grabs him. Kisses him. And his son begins this apology that he's been working on. We don't know how far away he was. It says a far off country. So you got to think it was a few days for him to get home. And the son starts his apology, and the father completely just blows him off. And he says, go and get go and kill the fatted calf. Let's have a celebration. My son that was lost is now found. He's home. Brennan Manning says that we do a terrible job of interpreting that part of this text, because in the original language, it actually means that the father literally could not stop kissing the son that had been lost and now had come home. And as I was sitting at home and I was listening to Corey sing this part of the song, doing just an incredible job of painting a picture with lyrics, God asked me the question, why is that part of the story so beautiful to you? Why is that part of the story carry such weight? And when God asks me questions, and when God asks all of us questions, we usually already know the answer. Because He's awakening something with those questions, something really deep down in our hearts. And I responded and I said, God, because all of the love that I have felt in my life came with some kind of condition. And I have been trying my hardest to meet those conditions. Because we're human beings, right? Our love is imperfect. My Father's love was imperfect. My love for my son is imperfect. And all of our love, in some way or another, if you think about it, comes with some kind of conditions. But God's love is completely perfect, and it comes with absolutely zero conditions. And that's why I love that story. That's why I love the gospel. It's because it's a perfect love that comes with absolutely zero conditions, right? It comes with no strings attached whatsoever. And what if it was the Son's 50th time to do that? What if he had done that before? We don't know. But today, I just want to say that because I believe today that we stand in the presence of a love so unimaginable, so much more wonderful than we ever could imagine. And so many of us live under bridges and we sleep outside and we scrape together whatever we can to survive. But God loves us so lavishly, so extravagantly. And He wants so much better for us, right? But we settle for so little. And the Son, you know, He said, maybe I can just work for Him. Maybe I can just camp out in one of the slaves' quarters and just hang out and work my way back in slowly. And for a lot of us, that's what we think. We talk about how we're going to get our act together, how we're going to do all these things to make things right. But Jesus stands. He stands on the porch, looking down the road of your life, waiting for you to come back, waiting for you to come back home. And He doesn't care about your apology. He doesn't care how sorry you are. Isn't that beautiful? He doesn't care how much remorse you have. There's no amount of remorse that you could feel. There's no amount of guilt that you could feel that could make God love or care for you anymore, right? So I don't know about you, but I'm gonna slide all my chips to His side, right? I'm gonna bet on that. I'm going to count on the love of Jesus to come through for me. And I want to invite you guys to do that as well. I'm going to trust in that. I'm going to trust that the Father's heart towards me is good. I'm going to trust that that the things that matter to me matter to Him too. I'm going to trust that what He's spoken over me in His Word, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm going to trust that that is true. And I'm going to invite you guys to do that. Because that's why we started all this. How many years has it been, Keith? 2 years, 3 years that we've been doing this? 4 years that we've been doing this. We started that because we encountered a love that was too great that four walls of a building could not contain. Because God loves lavishly. And we know people that are not here today who love lavishly and who give without condition. That allows us to come out here and share a meal and get what we need to get us through the week. I'm going to count on that. I'm going to put all my chips on that. I'm going to slide all of my, I'm going to bet on that today. And I want to invite everybody to do that with me, right? When the night starts pushing up the day, when the miles drop me on the open plains, when I've lost grace with the lady of the dawn, you're what I count. counting on. When the hounds run and track me in my sleep, when I can't trust the company I keep, when I'm pushed past the point of pressing on, you're what I'm counting on. You're what I'm counting on. Stones of that window, I'm casting shadows upon your bonds break right outside my door, when I can't shake the onset of my wars, when the stakes are raised and we hold the head we've drawn, you're what I'm counting through storms above. Jesus, God, we thank you today, God, that we are in the presence of such a great love, Father. We ask for your blessing over Charlie today, God, as he brings your word. God, we just pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Father, we just, right now in your name, God, we silence any other voice other than yours, Father. We give you this time. In your name we pray, amen.
May all of God's people say amen. My heart is thankful this morning. Let's begin with thanksgiving. Anybody else thankful today? Amen. Thankful for worship. Amen. If you're thankful for worship, say amen. I appreciate Jesse's heart. There's something when music is being played and someone is pouring out their heart to the Lord that's beautiful and helps us connect with him. I'm so thankful for Jesse. I've had the pleasure of ministering with him in prison, and I've seen him share the gift of worship to men who, in this world, are locked in chains, But there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Amen. Even though those men may be in prison, with Christ, they are free. Amen. And I've seen him proclaim that good news there. Anybody thankful for sunshine today? Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jesus, for the sun. It's a beautiful day. If you look up, just look up. No clouds in the sky. Not a cloud in the sky today. God's creation is beautiful and is testifying to his glory. Anybody thankful for fettuccine this morning? Fettuccine Alfredo. Now, a very important question. Are you shrimp or chicken? All right, raise your hand if you're shrimp. All right, that's good. Raise your hand if you're chicken. Raise both hands if you're both. Amen. That's good food today. I'm thankful for people that have a heart to come out and serve. I'm thankful for bikers for Jesus, amen, who come out and serve and give of themselves. Thankful for people who spent yesterday and today cooking the food. Thankful for people that serve drinks. I'm thankful for this parking lot, the beautiful people that God brings together every week. You are part of this. You have a seat at the table. You are part of that beautiful love of Jesus Christ that radiates when his people are together. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for you. You're here today on purpose. You're here today for a reason. And that reason is to open up your heart to the love of Jesus Christ and let him in. And let that love define who you are and what you do for every day that we're given to live from here on out. Amen? From here on out. That's the call of God. That's what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the Word of God, which we will read today. I want you to open up your heart and listen to the Word of God. We've been in the book of John, in the New Testament Gospel of John. John's Gospel is so beautiful. We've looked at the I am statements of Jesus. And in the last week of Jesus's life, the Gospel of John, it just kind of slows down. We get long conversations. We get long talks from Jesus. And that makes sense, right? Because as Jesus sees that the end is drawing near, the end of his life on earth is drawing near, he wants to share some things. He wants to speak into the people that he loves. He wants to wants them to get his message and what he wants them to know while he's not even there. And even last week, Keith shared from John chapter 16 that even when Jesus goes away, there'll be a Holy Spirit, a helper that will come and help the disciples, not just the disciples that Jesus was speaking to, but year after year, decade after decade, millennium after millennium, even to us as his disciples, he's speaking. So let's open up our hearts to the Word of God today. And I want to share the sermon in a sentence, in just one sentence. I hope you can remember this week and it can help you, okay? Just a few simple words, okay? With Jesus, sadness, everybody make a sad face, sadness, all right, can turn to gladness. Everybody make a happy face. With Jesus, sadness can turn to gladness. Everybody say that with me. With Jesus, sadness can turn to gladness. And that is the point of the scripture one of the points of scripture that we're going to look at today, because Jesus shares some powerful words with his disciples. We're in John chapter 16. If you have your Bible or you can pull it up on your phone, we're going to start in verse 16, and I'm going to read from the Message. Hear the word of the Lord. It says, this is Jesus speaking, in a day or so, you're not going to see me, but then in another day or so, you will see me. Now that stirred up a hornet's nest of questions among the disciples. What's he talking about? In a day or so, you're not going to see me, but then in another day or so, you will see me. And also Jesus had said earlier, because I'm on my way to the Father. What is this day or so? We don't have any idea what he's talking about. That was a common theme of the disciples. What does this mean? What's Jesus saying? So Jesus, with the heart of love that Jesse talked about, knew that they were dying to ask him what he meant. So he said, are you trying to figure out among yourselves what I meant when I said in a day or so you're not going to see me, but then in another day or so you will see me? Jesus says, then fix this firmly in your minds. If Jesus wants us to fix something firmly in our minds, we probably need to do that. Amen. Then fix this firmly in your minds. You're going to be in deep mourning. Not the mourning, but M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. The deep mourning. While the godless world throws a party. You'll be sad, very sad. But your sadness will develop into gladness. And then he illustrates this. If you're a parent, you will get this. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, when a woman gives birth, she has a hard time. May all of God's mamas say amen. When a woman gives birth, she has a hard time. There's no getting around it. But when the baby is born, there is joy in the birth. This new life in the world wipes out memory of the pain. The sadness you have right now is similar to that pain, but the coming joy is also similar. When I see you again, you will be full of joy, and it will be a joy that no one can rob from you. You'll no longer be so full of questions. Jesus says, this is what I want you to do. Ask the Father. Ask the Father for whatever is in keeping with the things that I have revealed to you. Ask in my name according to my will, and he will most certainly give it to you. Your joy will be a river overflowing its banks. I've used figures of speech in telling you these things, but soon I will drop all the figures of speech and I will tell about the Father in plain language, that you can make your requests directly to him in relation to this life that I have revealed to you. I won't continue making requests of the Father on your behalf. I won't need to, because you've gone out on a limb and you've committed yourselves to the love and to the trust in me, believing that I came directly from the Father. The Father loves you directly. First, I left the Father and arrived into this world, and now I leave the world and travel to the Father. His disciples said, finally, you're giving it to us straight in plain talk, no more figures of speech. Now we know that you know everything, that it all comes together in you. You won't have to put up with our questions anymore. We are convinced that you came from God. And Jesus answered them and said, do you finally believe? In fact, you're about to make a run for it, saving your own skins and abandoning me. But I'm not abandoned. The Father is with me. I've told you all of this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. But take heart. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of God for the people of God. May all of God's people say amen. Wow, what beautiful language, what beautiful truth. Jesus says that sadness, with Jesus, sadness can turn into gladness. In this interaction with his disciples, they're questioning, they're wondering what's going to happen. And Jesus tells them that he will soon not be with them, but then they'll see him again. We kind of know the story. We look back on that and we know that Jesus was killed on the cross, but then after 3 days, he raised up. Of course, at this time, the disciples did not know that. But Jesus tells them, you're going to be sad. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be tough. In fact, even though you've said you believe in me, you're going to abandon me. Jesus even knew that was going to happen. But he says, take heart. Probably some of the most important words in all of Scripture. Jesus calls us to take heart. Because with Jesus, sadness can turn into gladness. With Jesus, through Jesus, and because of Jesus, sadness can turn into gladness. And that's not just true for the disciples that Jesus was speaking with at that point. That is true for all disciples of Jesus today. Can anybody relate to what Jesus said when he said, in this world you will have trouble? Anybody have any trouble? Anybody want to raise both hands? Anybody got any difficulties, any challenges, any sin struggles, anything that brings us trouble? Being a part of this world means that we are going to have trouble. Jesus didn't say you're going to have to avoid it. He said you got to face it head on. You've got to face that trouble, because with me, sadness can turn into gladness, and with me, you can overcome. With Jesus, we can overcome, not in our own strength, not in our own power, but with Jesus. With Jesus, he can take difficult, challenging circumstances and turn them into a cause for rejoicing. Can you believe that? That's the work of Jesus. That is the redemption of Jesus. That is the joy and the life that Jesus offers us, taking the difficult challenges, the difficult circumstances, using his power, using our faith and trust to turn it into something beautiful. That is the work of Jesus in your life, and that is the work of Jesus in my life, but it doesn't mean that troubles won't come. So Jesus says, take heart. Take heart. Take heart. Use the heart that I've given you, the life that I've given you to trust in me and to believe in me. And I want to share three things with you as we close that can help us overcome in a world that we have trouble. To help us overcome in a world that we have trouble. First, faith. Everybody point up, faith. We need faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus says that the source of all of this strength will be because you believe and trust in me and in my love that Jesse sang about. Faith, it is our call to do what Hebrews 11:1 says, is to have faith. Faith in Hebrews 11:1 says it's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. There is a whole world around us that we can't see, and then there's a world, a spiritual dimension around us that we can't see. And Jesus is Lord of both worlds, amen? But in this world that we live in, we do have an enemy. We do have someone that is against the plans of good in our life. We have someone that is against us. But Jesus says, take heart through faith, through belief and trust in me. You can overcome. So when the difficult trouble comes at you this week and the difficult circumstances come at you this week, take heart, have faith. Place all your chips, as Jesse said, in Jesus. Believe in him, trust in him, talk to him like we've talked about here. Speak to him, say, God, I need you, I need your help. And he will come through. He came so that we might have life and have it abundantly to the full. Jesus will come through for us in our difficulties and in our circumstances to turn sadness into gladness. With Jesus, sadness can turn into gladness. With faith and also with fight. Everybody make a fist. Everybody make a fist. So we've got faith and we've got fight, okay? Thank you. And I'm not talking about violence, okay? Obviously, Jesus was the one who had all the authority, who had command of thousands of angels if he wanted to fight. But Jesus, the way of Jesus fighting was to willingly lay down his life. But in Ephesians 6, when troubles and circumstances come, sometimes, y'all, we've got to stand up and fight. We've got to take our stand against the evil one, arming ourselves with the full armor of God. Amen. Ephesians 6 tells us, put on the belt of truth. You know what is true about you and what God has said about you. Put that belt on. That belt in early Roman times would secure all the rest of the armor. That is the source. That is the thing that would secure all the other armor, that belt of truth. You've got to know, and we try to preach it every week, what is true about you. You have a seat at the table. You are loved by God. You are a child of God. He loves you. He wants to be in relationship with you. So put that truth on and let that truth define who you are in your fight against the evil one. He also says, put your breastplate. Imagine a breastplate of righteousness that guards your heart, the breastplate of righteousness. Now, that's not just righteous works that we do, although it includes that, but the word righteousness is the right relatedness that we have with God. Let that guard your heart. Let that guard the heart that you have to know who you are in Christ Jesus, that you are right with him because you believe in Jesus. You have a right relationship with him. He is for you. He loves you. He wants to come to know you and to give you life. That is the right relatedness that we must armor up with every single day. The breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the gospel. We've got to carry everywhere our steps go, the gospel of peace. Not just the good news that Jesus died, was raised, and is now reigning in our lives today and will reign one day forever and ever, but a gospel, the good news of peace. Sisters and brothers, we must walk in peace. We must be the peacemakers working and modeling what it means to live at peace with ourselves, with our God, and with our world. Now, that is not easy. In this world, we will have trouble. That will be opposed. But Jesus says, armor up with the gospel. Shoes of the gospel of peace. We need the helmet of salvation, sisters and brothers. The helmet of salvation. That that guards our minds, that helps us, the salvation that we know that Jesus, because of Jesus Christ, we are saved, and no one can take that away from us. No height, nor depth, nor principality, no power, no demon can take that away from us. We are saved. We must guard our mind every day with that truth, that that is who we are. We have the salvation of Jesus Christ over our head, over our heart, and over our body. That is what it means to armor up, to stand up against the devil. We've got to have the helmet of salvation. We've got to have the shield of faith. Brothers and sisters, the enemy will fire fiery darts at you. And with faith, like we talked about, we've got to take our stand against the evil one. And then the only offensive weapon that we are called to use is the sword of the Spirit, which you know is the Word of God. Sisters and brothers, we must, as we fight against the devil, take up the truth of what Jesus says, the Word of God. Let that truth stand up against the enemy. So when we fight with faith and we take our stand against the evil one, he will flee from us. Amen. Sometimes we're too timid of the evil one. We've got to take our stand against him. And when we do, through the power and through the strength of Jesus, he will flee from us. Remember what James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We've got to have faith. We've got to have fight. And with faith and fight, that brings freedom. Amen. We are free in Jesus Christ. With faith and fight, we are free. We are free to live our lives according to his commandments and his truth. We are free. No man holds anything against us. No angel, no demon, no principality can have anything against us and can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. That is what it means to be free. We fight, we have faith, and we are free. And with sadness, Jesus can turn it into gladness. That's what it means to walk in the joy of the Lord, that nothing, even death, what Jesus was about to face would even take that away. That is the joy of the Lord, and may that be our strength this week. Will you pray with me? Father, we love you and we bless you today. We thank you for the truth of Jesus. We thank you that the disciples, in some ways, were confused, because sometimes we're confused in this life. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. But God, in the promise of your scripture that we've read today, we take heart. We place all of our chips in you because we know that you can overcome. God, we pray that you would help us to walk in faith. We pray that you would help us to take our stand and fight against the evil one. God, we take up the weapons of Jesus Christ, the identity that you have for us to stand against the evil one. We know that he is our enemy and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy, but we choose life and we take heart. So when the challenges come this week, God, may we face them with faith. May we face them with fight. And God, bring your freedom, the freedom of Jesus Christ, to us, to know that we are loved, to know that we are saved, to know that forever and ever we will be with you. So help us to start practicing that life right now, living at peace with others, loving others, serving others. I thank you for people today who've been walking around the parking lot just looking to pick up trash. Father, what a heart of service. I pray that this week, this day, this moment that you've given us, because we know that it's the only moment we're promised, that we'll remember that you are with us and that you are present with us so that we can change the world. God, we know that that means loving the people that you put in our path. We know that that means serving, and we trust in that power and in that love. That's where our hope lies. We long for the day where you will make all things new and you will make all things right, and we will have a party sitting at your table. We look forward to that day, God. So bless each and every heart that's listening to the good news today. Thank you for the beautiful people in this parking lot. May your spirit fill us so full of joy that it overflows into this dark world. We need you, God. We love you, God. And we bless you, God. And it's in Jesus we pray. May all of God's people say together, amen. God bless you. Love you.